First, a new report out this week looks at a segment of the population that doesn't get a lot of attention. Military caregivers are tasked with caring for wounded, ill, and injured military personnel and veterans. Oftentimes, these caregivers are friends, family members, and spouses of those service members.
While caretaking in general presents difficulties, military caregiving adds an extra challenge, and that can take a toll on the physical and emotional well-being of caretakers. So what exactly are these caretakers up against, and what can be done to help them out? Those are two of the questions that the report set out to answer.
Joining us now is Terry Tanelian, Senior Social Research Analyst at the RAND Corporation. She's co-leader of the new study, Hidden Heroes, America's Military Caregivers. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, in the report, you say there's been a lot of attention to the role of caregiving for elderly Americans, people with chronic illnesses, children with special needs, but we don't know a lot about military caregivers. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think for a lot of reasons, there's just been a lack of research to understand the nature and the size, really, the magnitude of the population, as well as the nature of the tasks that they are performing. And I think that caregiving in general has received some attention, but certainly not enough research to understand the types of issues and challenges that this population faces.
And your study found about 5.5 million military caregivers, about 1.1 million of them caring for post-9/11 veterans. That's people who have left the service since 2001. Can you paint us a picture of who these caregivers are? Who's providing the care?
Sure, absolutely. So caregivers to post-9/11 service members and veterans look very different than caregivers to those who are supporting veterans of the pre-9/11 era or even caregivers in the civilian sector. They tend to be younger. So we find that about 30% of post-9/11 caregivers are between the ages of 18 and 30. They also differ in how they are related to the care recipient. So if you think about the typical civilian caregiver, it tends to be a middle-aged child caring for an aging parent or an aging spouse caring for a similarly aging significant other or spouse. And so when we look at the post-9/11 caregivers, they differ in their relationships. They're more likely to be married to the individual that they're caring for. But we also find that 25% of the post-9/11 caregivers are parents taking care of a son or daughter who was severely wounded, ill, or injured. We also see that 23% of post-9/11 caregivers are friends, so war buddies who are helping out their comrades after they return home.
And for the pre-9/11 veterans, if I read your report right, their needs are pretty similar to the population of aging Americans as a whole. Do I have that right?
That's correct. What we find is that the characteristics of the care recipients for pre-9/11 caregivers do resemble those of civilian caregivers. They tend to be dealing with conditions that are age-related, such as Alzheimer's or dementia, or chronic conditions like cancer or diabetes. They're also helping deal with musculoskeletal problems, which are common across all cohorts, but we do see that pre-9/11 care recipients look very much like civilian care recipients, particularly as both populations are aging.
So what is it about this modern cohort that's so different? And I think we're talking mainly about people returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Is there something different about their experiences, their wounds, their injuries that makes their needs so different?
Yes, there is. I mean, if you think about the enormous advances that we've had in battlefield medicine, in our evacuation techniques, and really our ability to bring many, many more service members home who would have probably succumbed to wounds in prior eras, they're living with disabling conditions at much higher of a rate than prior era veterans. But we also are much better now at diagnosing and detecting and kind of identifying the needs associated with these invisible wounds of war, like post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, as well as traumatic brain injury. And so we're better at identifying these things early, ensuring people get through the disability evaluation system and get into the treatment system that they can benefit from for these particular types of conditions. So we have greater awareness and ability to detect these types of challenges that face our post-9/11 veterans.
So some of what we're talking about comes from these challenges are created by good news. People would be dead if they'd sustained a similar injury in a previous war, or they'd return and not get diagnosed at all. But what can you put a face on these military caregivers? Do you have any personal stories that kind of give some sentiment behind the statistics?
Well, our study was really designed to create those statistics to demonstrate that it's not just about the anecdotes, but we do hear that their experiences are varied. So whether it's a parent caring for a child who is bedridden and on constant life support and wound care, or if it's someone who's taking care of maybe even a double amputee who may need some minimal support getting in and out of wheelchairs and in and out of places, we've seen major advances in prosthetic care so that these even, triple amputees are incredibly independent. But we know that the behavioral health conditions that many of them experience can be quite stressful, and caregivers are often helping these individuals to monitor their environments and to cope with stressful situations, to watch for triggers, and to help them remember the most simplest of tasks after they're recovering from a traumatic brain injury.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the kind of work that these caregivers, these caretakers are doing?
So caregiving is often defined around the support given for activities of daily living, things like feeding, bathing, and dressing. And we know that almost half of post-9/11 caregivers are helping their care recipients with one of these types of activities. There are also instrumental activities of daily living, things like transportation, administering medication, grocery shopping, doing housework, things that are really essential for community-based living. We see about 3/4 or 75% of post-9/11 caregivers are helping with those types of tasks. But also we find that about 80% of post-9/11 caregivers are helping their care recipients cope with these stressful situations. So really, again, monitoring their environments to mitigate and watch for triggers to kind of help these veterans deal with stressful situations.
One thing you tried to do in the report is put a value on what these caregivers are doing. About how much value are they bringing economically to the United States?
So we know that caregiving takes time, and so the hours spent by these caregivers can be valued based on the amount of money it would cost to hire somebody to do the same type of job or task. And so for post-9/11 caregivers, we estimate that they are providing $3 billion worth of savings to the United States annually. These are costs that we would otherwise have to bear in hiring somebody to perform those same types of functions.
So they're providing that benefit. Is there much out there in the way of help for those caregivers?
Well, that's a great question. And so a second part of our study was to really try and understand the support landscape for military caregivers. We looked at federal policies, state-run programs. We also examined a number of services and programs that were offered in the nonprofit sector. We did find 120 organizations that were offering services to support caregivers in a number of different ways, whether it be to help train them, to provide better care, to address their own well-being needs through like structured support or counseling or retreats and wellness activities, or things that were really organized to promote the entire family's well-being, whether it could be helping hand services or things that were designed to offset income loss. There are a number of programs that offer stipends to caregivers in return for the type of work that they're performing with their care recipient.
There's a lot of things out there, but does it meet the needs of those caregivers, or is it just a patchwork of a little bit here, a little bit there?
Well, there is a patchwork, and we do find some notable gaps, particularly the array of programs that we identified and cataloged. The majority of those programs are designed specifically to meet the needs of the veteran, the care recipient. And while the caregiver is served incidentally and may benefit from some of those programs, there are very few programs that are targeted specifically at the unique needs faced by caregivers, particularly those in the post-9/11 cohort. We also know that the majority of the programs that support caregivers generally in the United States are designed for caregivers to individuals who are over the age of 60. So to the extent that most post-9/11 care recipients and their caregivers are under the age of 60, they're not eligible to take advantage of some of these services. Additionally, a lot of the programs define caregiver based upon the relationship that the individual has to the care recipient and require that it be a spouse or first-degree relative. So, for example, the 25% of friends who are performing caregiving responsibilities would not be able to use those types of programs and services. So there are some gaps that need to be really remedied with changing of eligibility criteria.
We're talking with Terry Tanelian about people who provide care for loved ones, or as we heard, friends, former comrades who are in the military. the challenges facing them in their day-to-day lives, and what, if any, help is available for them.
And you can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Do you take care of a former service member? What is your experience? And what do you think could be done to make your life a little bit easier? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. And you can also post your experiences and your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation and get to your calls right after the news. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Terry Tenelian about military caregiving in the United States, the challenges people face when they're caring for a relative, a friend, a former comrade who's suffered maybe injuries, trauma at war or in military service. And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is this you? Are you caring for a military veteran? What are the biggest challenges you face in your daily life? What stress does it put on you? What help would you like in your caregiving? The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Terry, let's get into a little bit of the stress, the impact that caregiving has on the caregivers. What did you find in your research?
Yes, we actually looked at a number of different types of outcomes across both physical health as well as mental health. And what we find is pretty consistent with the civilian caregiving literature, that caregivers relative to non-caregivers do fare worse. They have kind of higher risk for health-related problems. When we look particularly at the post-9/11 caregivers, we do find that they are at higher risk and are experiencing some of these consequences more so than even pre-9/11 and civilian caregivers. For example, we find that about 40% of post-9/11 caregivers meet symptom criteria for major depression. That's about twice the number of those in the pre-9/11 or civilian cohort of caregivers, and four times the rate of depression in the general population.
More depression. Is that because of the more emotional nature of a condition like PTSD?
It may be. We actually look to try to understand the different types of characteristics that might predict or be significantly related to experiencing depression. And what we found is that the time spent caregiving is a significant predictor of depression. So for each hour that you spend in caregiving, you increase your risk of experiencing depression. But moreover, we also found that the task of helping your care recipient cope with stressful situations contributes to the increased risk. Moreover, all the other tasks of caregiving.
You talked earlier about some of the help, some of the services available for caregivers. Is there a lot out there to deal specifically with that elevated risk of depression?
Well, we know that only about a third of those that experience depression have sought help for that problem in the past year, leaving about two-thirds of these caregivers with depression with unmet need. And so there are some programs, but they tend to be geographically dispersed, and there are not enough that offer these mental health services above and beyond kind of traditional healthcare delivery routes. We also know that about a third of the post-9/11 caregivers reported that they didn't have health insurance, and another third indicated that they didn't have a regular source of health care. So many of these folks don't have regular sources that they would turn to for their health needs. We also heard from talking to caregivers that caregivers tend to focus on the needs of their loved one, the care recipient. They tend to minimize their own health-related challenges and concerns and kind of put it off until it hits a crisis level.
Did you get a sense of how much time these caregivers were putting in on the unpaid job of giving care?
Yes, we did. We actually see that across all caregiving groups, you know, a fairly large percentage are spending 40 or more hours a week, as much as a full-time job.
Well, and that's got to make it hard to keep a paid job.
Indeed. We actually assessed to the extent that they've had to make work-related adjustments. We find that half of post-9/11 caregivers have done something to adjust either their work schedules or leave the workforce altogether. And we know that those work adjustments can lead to absenteeism, and we know that that also comes at a cost. We measured that absenteeism is about 4 days per month for post-9/11 caregivers, which costs about $6 billion per year in lost productivity.
So a theme we keep coming back to again and again is the needs of these veterans and their caregivers are different in the post-2001 era than they were before. Do existing programs, that patchwork of programs you talked about earlier, account for that, or is it just kind of a one-size-fits-all approach?
Well, there are some that are certainly tailored to the post-9/11 veterans and their caregiver population. In fact, many programs that we identified have been implemented since 2011. So in many respects, they're young and using novel approaches to try and meet the needs of this population. And we know that those needs are unique. But we still identify a number of gaps that need to be filled to ensure that post-9/11 caregivers' needs are met, not just now, but over the long term as well.
This research you're doing, apart from those services you just mentioned, seems like an opening chapter in dealing with this problem over the long term. From your perspective, what's the next step in what we need to know, what we don't know right now?
Well, there are many questions that need to be answered as we look towards the future. While we predict some challenges to the continuity of caregiving for the post-9/11 generation, particularly with respect to aging parents and these young marriages that may be vulnerable to dissolution, we also know that the care recipients' needs are going to change over time, and that may affect their caregiving requirements. But at the same time, as the caregiver's own well-being becomes compromised, their ability to render that care may become vulnerable as well. And so as we see this cycle of, you know, exacerbating and worsening symptoms in the care recipients and the caregivers unable to render that care, we find that there may be challenges in the future to ensure that the well-being of the veteran is sustained, but also that the caregiver's well-being is sustained. So we need more research. We need to be following these cohorts of post-9/11 veterans, the care recipients themselves, as well as their caregivers over time to understand how those needs might change and ensure that the programs, policies, and services that we have are appropriate and sufficient for the population.
Based on what we know now, can you extrapolate out to the future? How big a challenge is this going to be for us as a society, for the government trying to organize these efforts?
Well, we outline a number of recommendations that can help to kind of stave off some of the long-term challenges around decreasing the risks of health consequences, you know, making sure that effective, high-quality services are available now to meet the caregiving burden and the challenges that post-9/11 caregivers face. But to the extent that we really don't know over time as these post-9/11 care recipients experience other types of health conditions that are age-related, their caregiving needs may change and evolve and grow. And the caregivers themselves, to the extent that their well-being is not maintained, we may see substitutive care needs like around long-term planning and financial planning to ensure that at an individual family level, there's a long-term plan for that caregiving. But from a societal perspective, we do need to think about if that individual level planning doesn't happen, what are the alternatives? Are we going to be looking at, you know, residential placement for some of these veterans in 15, 20 years? And are we really equipped and ready for that challenge?
We'll leave it there. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Terry Tanelian. She's Senior Social Research Analyst at the RAND Corporation. She's the co-leader of the study we've been talking about. It's called Hidden Heroes, America's Military Caregivers.